preparation for our brother Paul Jenkins' exhortation this morning is titled Knowledge. He has asked us to read Proverbs, the third chapter, starting at verse 13 to 24. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. But by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Let us please direct our attention to our brother Paul. His title is Knowledge.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, friends of the truth. Knowledge. Knowledge from Unger's dictionary means to know, or sometimes to approve of and take delight in. Now we know there is only one who has this attribute in perfectness, and we know that is our Father in heaven. And his omniscient character is incomprehensible to us. I'm turning over to Genesis. I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. These verses of the darkness and the void of the earth, I started wondering to myself, when was the beginning? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did God get here? How was God made? Now, these things we know that we will never know until we are given immortality. And even then, we still might not be able to know that. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. From the beginning. Now, during this time frame of or in the beginning, God knew who was going to be called, and he knows who of us are going to be saved. And even us being given a free will, he knows what our choices will be. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God after their fall in the garden. Look over in Genesis 3, verses 6 through 10. Genesis 3, verses 6 through 10 read, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired of one, desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. So did the Elohim really not know where they were? Because they are asking the question in verse 9, Where art thou? Or were Adam and Eve made to feel their guilt and their shame for the thing that they had just done wrong? And this was a test to see if they would come clean. I know me as a parent, I've seen or have known something that a child of mine has done, and I asked them the same thing. Where did you go? Or what did you do? And we already know in what they did, why do we ask? We're testing their conscience, as God did theirs, to see if a character of humility is present. Because if we can't say that we are wrong or have done something against God's commandments, there is no room for repentance and forgiveness. Jeremiah 23:24. Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. Now Adam and Eve, like us, they wanted more knowledge. They wanted more knowledge than what they had already been given. They wanted to know the differences between good and evil. And that is found in Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. They got their desire fulfilled along with all of the accompanying sorrows that would come with it. Ecclesiastes 1:18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Knowledge could become more of a hindrance to us instead of helping us. We might become desirous of things not apt to please our Father. And as we know, some people will spend their entire lives trying to learn so much. They want to know and to have all the answers to all of the problems, and the pursuit of this knowledge is not only in vain, but can also exhaust them of their health. And Ecclesiastes over in chapter 12, a familiar verse, 12:12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And also in Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verses 24 and 25. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. And then over in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 8, 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Their knowledge shall perish with their bodies when they die, unless it is of the knowledge of spiritual things. This is a pursuit in which us in this room have enjoined to learn of and gain an understanding in the knowledge of God in all of His ways, to know His instructions for us, and to well glory in it. A certain condition rests on us to obtain this spiritual knowledge, and that is of our obedience to His words and to His will. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, Proverbs 15:14 says. And Proverbs 2:3 says, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand, in verse 5, says, the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Not that we will have all of the knowledge of God, but we can gain enough wisdom to know the reason that we are to fear God, to revere Him, and to have respect of all of His ways and His commandments and His doings, that we may each enter into that day the joy of salvation. Now this is a cause to rejoice in, that we sinners are given a way out of the curse placed on all men, that to dust we shall return. Back in Jeremiah 9, read verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now not only do we rejoice, but God is delighted. He is delighted when we gain this understanding and learn of Him. His knowledge and love, and judgment, and righteousness is why He is the Lord our God. And we are to follow on to know the Lord. Our spiritual knowledge is obtained by how much we acquaint ourselves with God. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Turn over to John 17. John 17, I'll start at verse 18 through 21. John 17, verses 18 through 21. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus' words were the words of God his Father in John 8:19. He tells the Pharisees, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. He only spake and did what his heavenly Father would have had for him to say or to do. He didn't question why he had to die or why that he would have to suffer, and not only on the cross, but the entire lifetime, the mental suffering that he would experience every day, fighting temptations. His knowledge came from the Spirit of the Lord. Look over in Isaiah 11, read verses 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And there shall come forth God out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, says Paul to the Colossians in chapter 2, 3. We, like Jesus, have to search the Scripture daily and to have an open communication with God through Jesus. Solomon said that he had gotten more wisdom than all of they that had been before me in Jerusalem. He had seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And again I add, unless it is done unto the Lord. All the ways of men are known unto God. He knows if we really love him, and he knows if our heart is as an adamant stone. Zechariah 7:12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the word which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Does anybody know what an adamant stone is? An adamant stone is a stone that is harder than flint. And from what I could find, the Hebrew word was translated as a diamond. So that's about one of the hard. I think there's only one or two more stones harder than a diamond, and so that's pretty hard. I mean, a diamond can cut glass, so that's a pretty hard heart. The knowledge we each possess is at different levels. I know that I'm not one of the best students and very good at understanding prophecy, and have even a harder time getting through the book of Revelation. While some can grasp the meaning their first time through, or maybe their second time through. And God does not ask of us to know everything in the Bible. But we are to spend our lives every day searching and learning from the examples that he has left for us. 1 Chronicles 28:9. First Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And we know we could even spend most or even all of our lives trying to learn everything, and would always find something new in Scriptures. There is no searching of his understandings, Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 28. Let's turn over there. 40, verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and he knows them that put his trust in him. And we can be confident that the foundation of God standeth sure. And 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. None of us have any reason not to be accepted into his everlasting kingdom. His true love is recognized by us all. He always knows when we need His help, and He has given us a sure foundation. The problem that we run into is our pride, that we think that we already know everything, or that we think that we can do it ourselves. And to me, this is willful ignorance. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter 3, verses 1 through 5. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. As we know, brothers and sisters, we are definitely living in the last days. And Peter tells us so that we will know what the judgments will be for the heavens and the earth. 2 Peter 3, 6 through 9, where we just left off. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The evidences of a flood have been proven by biblical archaeologists, and not that we need to have proof to believe, but to remind us that what he says he will do, that he does. Many millions of people are going to die because of their ignorance, because of their foolish behavior. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. There is no fear of God in today's society. There is no desire. There is no desire to know the thoughts of our Lord. Ignorance is the state of not knowing and a lack of education. This applies worldly and spiritually. Ephesians 4:18. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I say worldly because they are alienated from the life of God, without hope, without that stronghold in the day of trouble. And spiritually, because even after entering into a covenanted relationship, sometimes we tend to forget what we know and the importance of it. And this is a dangerous state to be in for ones who follow this path of destruction, because the pride of life to fight our way out of can be very tough. It can be a tough thing to fight our way out of that. If times are tough in our lives, this does not mean God is not with us, because we know that we will be tried and that we will be tested, and that is our faith will be. And we know that God will not put us to the point where we can take no more. And we know that our Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth to give each of us our just reward. We know that indeed Christ is the Savior of the world, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If we have other purposes than to glorify His name now, I suggest to you that the kingdom might not be a place for you. the immortals will be praising, honoring, and glorifying the true and living God for eternity. Knowledge is the conformity or the likeness in form, shape, or manner of the object and the intellect. And knowledge, too, is in itself power. We should have this earnest desire to thirst after this knowledge that has been given to us and has been given to us in and by God's Spirit Word, and increase ever with the inquiring of it. Knowledge is of itself of some value if we are willing to go about learning with eagerness and haste. These words of God can save us from the punishment of eternal death. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren, says John in 1 John 3:14. Knowledge leads to eternal life, John 17:3. John 17:3 reads, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10. "That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." And finally, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 13. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Now, before closing, Peter tells us to add to our characters knowledge, among many other things which we read in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail or fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is our hope, this is our faith. Our desires should be directed this way." So in closing, I'd like to read 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Paul, for your words about this wonderful subject. We know that knowledge is where it starts, and the application thereof is where it ends. And it's how we apply our knowledge that we've gained in the truth to our life in the truth and the pursuit of faithfulness to our Lord, Savior, and Yahweh, that we will, is how we will end our lives. We will enter into our memorial portion with the singing of hymn 154. "'Twas on that dark and mournful night when Jews and Gentiles joined their power against the Son of God to fight, to mock his name, his life devour." Hymn 154. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the undiminished statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. In Matthew, in verse, in chapter 1, we read these words starting at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. And speaking of this, the childhood of Christ in Nazareth, revisited by our brother Roberts, he says this: the very reason given for the bestowal of the name Jesus is sufficient to place it beyond the range of human intervention, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is not according to the habit of men to be governed by so large and so pure an idea. Human enterprises or inventiveness runs in the channel of human sympathies and passions. The things that be of men are visible in all their ways and thoughts. But here is a reason that relates alone to the things that be of God, and is therefore self-evidently from a divine source. Very close to what our brother was talking about today, gnosis versus godly knowledge. It was not a new name in the sense of never having been used before, but it was new in Mary's circle, an inner use of it to name her son. It probably received for the first time its true application, of which previous uses were the typical adumbrations. For as the least informed may be aware, it is a Hebrew name in which the Creator's name is the leading ingredient, Yahshua, Joshua. Yahweh shall save. Jehovah, or Yahweh, saved Israel by Joshua, the successor of Moses, and again by Joshua, who took a prominent part in the restoration from Babylon. But in these cases, the work was transitory and performed indirectly. In the case of this newly born child, the work was to be forever in those for whom it should be effectual. And it was to be done in a direct manner by God himself, who was the father of the child, and who made him what he was, and dwelt in him by the Spirit, working and speaking through him, as Jesus repeatedly testified afterwards, and as indeed was manifest from the nature of his words and works. It was most fitting, therefore, that he should be called Yahshua, or Jesus, also Emmanuel, or God with us. He was without much figure, the Word made flesh, the wisdom and power of fiat and fiat of the Father became incorporate in a man of the house of David, that sin might be taken away and the way open for friendship, love, and life forevermore. In speaking of the meaning and origin of the name Joshua, we find, as we have just read, it comes from the Hebrew name Yeshua, meaning Yahweh is salvation. Joshua was one of the faithful 12 spies sent into Canaan by Moses. And after Moses died, Joshua succeeded him as leader of God's people. The name Jesus comes from the Greek translation of the Aramaic short form, Yeshua, which was the real name of Jesus. Being promised from the garden as the Savior, the seed which would be of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then later through David, as we read in Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Yahweh shall save through the anointed one, the Lord's anointed. In Luke 1, we read another account. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The only begotten Son of God, the Redeemer of mankind. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 18, we read, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the earth, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." It is he who we come to remember today by a service that was set up by our Lord himself. "This do in remembrance of me." Yahweh is salvation. Let's turn to our part in Matthew 26. Passage was the word I was looking for. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine till that day, and I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We'll ask our brother Mac if he will come and offer thanksgiving for the bread.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come together, Father, now in prayer as we partake of this bread to give thanks unto thee for the offering of thy only begotten Son. We know that as we partake of this bread, we are partaking of a symbol of his body, which has been given in sacrifice upon crucifixion state, that we might have hope of life eternal. We reflect now on the means of our redemption. We reflect now on the life of our Master, his obedience to thee, his life of service to thee, a life that was without transgression, a life that was offered up in obedience to thee upon the cross. We partake of this bread, Father. Help us to be re-energized, to be rededicated into service unto thee, that we might think upon our Master and what he has done for us, and that we might be motivated, each and every one of us, to walk before thee in a manner that is pleasing in thy sight. Forgive us of our sins and iniquities, and guide and direct us, each and every one, in thy ways and thy wisdom. For it is in thy Son's name, Jesus the Christ, we thank thee and pray. Amen.
Please stand, Wesk, or Brother Lou Locklear, if he will offer a prayer for the wine.
Our righteous Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to Thee for the opportunity to partake of these emblems. We now offer our thanks for this wine, which we see as a symbol of Thy Son's shed blood. For Thou hast declared from the beginning that without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin. We be humbled and grateful that we might partake of this, that we might share in that atonement, that we might be reconciled unto Thee. We pray for those of the household that are in need of Thy help, that Thou wouldst give a blessing to their needs, and send Thy Son soon to establish that glorious kingdom here on this earth. We pray it to be according to Thy will that all here may find a place therein. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We'll close with the singing of hymn 231, after which we'll ask Brother Dave Pirtle to close with prayer. And a special reminder, all brethren, please remain briefly after meeting for an announcement. Hymn 231, O blessed are the eyes that see the living way to grasp the glorious prize of everlasting day. 231.